beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. So I hope you can see our reaction. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much, sir. So can you please put your hands together as I hand over the microphone to Reverend Femi Agiri. You're welcome, sir.
God bless you. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful unto you again today because of your faithfulness and your goodness, which is better than life. Thank you because you are always rooting for us. You are always helping us. You are always supporting us. Father God, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said they lifted up their faces and they looked upon you and they were not ashamed. This evening, we're looking up to you again. We know that we will not be disappointed. We will not be ashamed. For you are our God. The God of very gods, the invincible, the Lord God Almighty, the controller of the galaxies, the director of the Milky Way, the Lord God whose name is awesome and powerful, the Lord who is our trailblazer, our waymaker, our pathfinder, the Lord God who rules in the midst of the heavens, who controls the constellations of the stars, the Lord whose name is awesome in power, who rides in the midst of the heavens by his name Jah, our day joy, our daylight, our way maker. Father, we bow before you. Lord, we pray that again today you'll be merciful to us as you put your hand upon your servant, that he may become like a flaming fire and speak the word of truth undiluted, and that it will go forth in prosperity to bring forth the dividends and the expectations of heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, let the hearts of your people be open. Let our spiritual eyes be opened also, be enlightened. Let our ears be free of every wax. And Lord, let us hear you twice tonight. For once you speak, but men hear twice. We pray that tonight we will hear you twice. In our spirit, we will hear you, even as we hear you with our physical ears, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, because your word will not be in vain tonight, but there shall be a mixing of faith of these words in our hearts. And Lord, it will bring forth the produce, even as you have expected. Thank you, blessed Father. To you be all the praise and to you be all the adoration. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God once again. So glad to be with us tonight. And many thanks to Pastor Shea and Mommy for the invitation. I'm sure that the Lord will speak to us again. And whatever he says to us tonight, there will definitely be a performance of that which the Lord has spoken. And I believe that you are also expectant and you will not go the way that you came. You will not be disappointed, because the Lord never disappoints anyone that comes to him. So tonight, we're not coming unto man. We're not looking unto man. We're looking unto the Almighty, the one who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can think or ask of him. So we're going to continue very quickly from where we stopped last night. We began to say that power has changed hands 2,000 years ago. But until Jesus came, and this is the reality that many people are living under till now, power was on the part of the oppressor. Let us look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 1. Again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. The strong man is safe as long as a stronger than he has not come. And that was the story of mankind until Jesus came. But thank God Jesus came, and thank God the Comforter also has come. The people were oppressed because power was on the side of the oppressor and there was no comforter. But thank God the Comforter came. Luke chapter 11 verse 21 to 22, Jesus said, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overtake him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divided the spoil. I have come to divide the spoil with you tonight. And I know all the way to tomorrow's service, the spoil will continually be divided. There's much spoil to be given to you, to be given to me by the Holy Spirit. And thank God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has come to break the yoke of oppression, to wrench power from the hands of the oppressors, to give it to them to whom it rightfully belongs. And the oppressor, of course, is symbolic of Satan and his demons. They were in charge because there was no comforter, as Ecclesiastes says. But now the Comforter is here. Because Jesus said in John 14, 16 and 26, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Comforter came on the day of Pentecost, as we see in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and he has been here ever since. Some people say the days of miracles are over, the gifts of the Spirit are no longer needed today because we now have the Bible complete and all kinds of things that are not written in the Word of God. If they needed the power then, we need the power even more now, because the devil has become more wicked, if there's anything like that. But we are seeing manifestations of evil in dimensions, in ways that we could not even think of 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago. It's unbelievable. It's unimaginable. Now, in the country that I live, lesbianism and homosexuality has been legalized by the greatest court in the land. That is wickedness. The Bible said it is confusion. And there are all manner of confusion going on in the world today. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the manifestations, the operations, and the demonstrations of the gift of the Spirit more than ever before. Thank God the Comforter is here and is here to stay until the Lord returns, until the Lord in his mercy, in his goodness, takes us from this world. You must tell the devil tonight. You must tell Satan tonight. You have beaten me for the last time. You have made me weep for the last time. You have afflicted and oppressed me for the last time. For the simple fact that the Comforter is here, and because power has changed hands. The devil is no longer the one in charge. The devil is not the one who is the most powerful creature on earth. He's not the one that is over us. He's not the one that has the authority. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 18, behold, all authority, all exousia has been given to me in heaven and on earth, and he gave it to us. Thank God for Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6 says, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Of the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Verse 7, thou makest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection or subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, He left out nothing that is not put under him. But now we see, not yet, all things put under him. But we see Jesus. I don't mind telling you tonight, I am not discouraged at the present state of the church because I see Jesus. I am not disappointed because we are not where we are supposed to be. For one simple fact, I see Jesus. Shortly after his resurrection, there was nothing to write to him about the disciples that he handed the baton to and entrusted the Great Commission unto. Yet the scripture had declared in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13, and Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which the Lord had given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And these men, these cowardly men, these fearful men, eventually became world changers. When they encountered power on the day of Pentecost, there was a translation, there was a transmutation, there was a transformation, there was a resurrection that took place on the inside of their spirit. So much so that these people, everywhere they went, they caused confusion in the kingdom of darkness and terrorized the hordes of the infernal realms. They made sure that every city they entered, that city knew that a people from God had passed through that land. And, you know, the people couldn't help it. Eventually, in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians had to testify that the world changers have come into the midst of us. If you read from Acts chapter 17, verse 6, it says, actually, we start from verse 1, we are told that after they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And the Jews were so confounded by Paul and Barnabas. And they saw a lot of, you know, a lot of Judaizers coming unto Christ. It was so unpalatable to them. They said, we must deal with this man. Then verse 6 says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come either also. These were the same people that were afraid to testify that they had been with Jesus. One of them, Peter, one of the most prominent, was even swearing before an ordinary small girl, a housemaid, this Jesus, I've never seen him before. I've never known him before. I've never had any acquaintance or encounter with him. If I know Jesus, let thunder kill me. Let evil happen to me. But this man, Peter, and the rest of the 119, on the day of Pentecost, had an encounter with divine power. They had a connection with dunamis, and transformation took place on the inside of them. This is my prayer. This is my desire, that you also would have an encounter with this dunamis of the Almighty. This divine dynamite will begin to explode on the inside of you, and you also will go forth and become a world changer. And I know it will happen. No matter what your experience has been, no matter what your experience is right now, I am fully persuaded that the word of the Lord will come to pass. For he said, I and the children whom the Lord has given me, we are for signs and we are for wonders in the midst of Zion. And I know that that word will not fall to the ground. No, I am not dissuaded tonight, because I still strongly and firmly believe that every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and every hill shall be made low, the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made smooth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it, according to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 4 to 5. Yes, I can tell you emphatically, with all confidence tonight, I still believe, as Prophet Amos declared, that not many days from hence, justice will roll down like a river, and righteousness like a never-failing stream. As he said in Amos chapter 5, verse 24. Yes, my brethren, I can tell you tonight, I am confidently sure that the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but Zion shall arise and shine, for her glory has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon her. As Isaiah said in Isaiah 60, verse 1. Then in verse 2 and 3, he says, but the Lord shall arise upon Zion, his people, and his glory shall be seen upon the house of David. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. This is the best time to be alive. Whether you realize it or not, this is the best time to exist upon the earth. Because God has kept the ultimate for the final round. I want you to know it tonight, that you are living in the pivotal age that prophets and apostles were longing to live in. Yes, thank God for the great things God did through them. But like somebody read last night, I believe it was Pastor said, but they without us cannot be complete. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, confirming the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness have seen a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. For it is only when it is dark that you can see the light. And the darker the night, the brighter the light. It is said that the darkest hour is one just before dawn. The dawn of glory is on the horizon, because I hear again the voice of the son of Amos, the father of Mahashahar Ashbaz, Isaiah the prophet, declaring of the increase of his government. The Living Bible says his kingdom, and peace there shall be no end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Again he declared, for out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 22. Paul of Tarsus also confirmed in Romans chapter 9, verse 28. He said, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short or a quick walk will the Lord do upon the earth. The New American Standard, the Bible says it this way, and I love the way it says it. It says that, for the Lord would execute his word on the earth thoroughly and quickly. So brethren, don't look at what has happened, what is happening, you know, the many failures, the many negative things, the disappointment, the church that disappointed God. A quick work will be done in these last days. There's something that is already happening in the realm of the spirit. I'm excited because you will be a part of it. I will be a part of it. Oh, I am so elated tonight, because it is his modus vivendi, it is his modus operandi to keep the best for the last. That is the way God has always operated. The book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 1 verse 5, tells us, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. With God, evening comes before the morning. Evening always precedes the morning. If it was you or me that wrote Genesis 1 verse 5, we would have said, and the first day, and the morning and the evening was the first day. But God said, no, it was the evening first and then the morning. The evening must come before the morning comes. The darkness must come before the light breaks forth. With God, evening always precedes the morning. And that's what he said in Psalm 30 verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy eventually, inevitably, certainly must come in the morning. Yes, for many of us, 2020 has been a challenging year in many ways. But if we can trust the Lord and not lose hope and not cast away our confidence and the profession or confession of our faith, I am declaring to you tonight as the prophetic vessel that the last month, December, can still be your best month in this year 2020. I have the audacity to declare to you that better days are here and better days are ahead of you. Ezekiel spoke in the same spirit in Ezekiel 36, verses 9 and 11. He said, "For behold, I am for you." The Amplified Version says, "I'm for you in favor, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sowed." The Christian Standard Bible says, "Look, I am on your side." And if God is on your side, who is the bagger? Who is the person that can be against you? They are wasting their time. The Contemporary English Version says, "I will take care of you." The Evangelical Heritage Version says, "Yes, I am on your side. I will look on you with favor, and your land will be cultivated and planted." In the 11th verse, Ezekiel said in that chapter 36, "And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will set to you after your old estate, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Someone needs to tell the Lord tonight, "Settle me, settle me, settle me before this year expires." God said, "I will settle you after your former estate." You can become a constant partaker, a recipient, and a dispenser of that kingdom power from this very night. And I want you to, when we finish the message tonight, please open your mouth, call upon God, ask Him. Because it is he that asketh that receiveth. It is he that seeketh that findeth. It is he that knocketh that the door shall be opened unto. God is looking for a kingdom-minded people who would manifest his power, who would manifest his love. What is a kingdom-minded people? A community of individuals who are spiritually linked together with the purpose of reflecting and legislating the values of the kingdom of God. We are supposed to be his ambassadors of love and power. That is why Jesus gave us the keys of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now the question is, where does the kingdom power come from? Or where does the power of the kingdom come from? Of course, the power of the kingdom comes from the Holy Spirit. So for you to access this power and continually live in the supernatural, the first thing you need to do is to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. And that begins with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But for many of us, we think that is the end also. But it's just the beginning. The way into the supernatural is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, I implore you, I plead with you, whatever it will take, make sure that at the end of this meeting, either tonight or tomorrow, somebody ministers the baptism in the Holy Spirit to you. You cannot do without the Holy Spirit. Jesus could not do without the Holy Spirit. The power of God came upon him when the Spirit descended upon him in his baptism by John in River Jordan. The apostles could not do anything until they were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and they were endued with power from on high. If they needed the Spirit, if Jesus himself needed the Holy Spirit, what makes us think that we can do it without the Spirit? That is why the church has been weak. That is why the church has been frail. That is why the church has been powerless. Because the Holy Spirit has not been given its rightful place. So I am imploring you tonight. I'm pleading with you tonight. Get filled with the Spirit. And even if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you can be filled afresh. You can be filled again. The psalmist said in Psalm 92, verse 10, "My horn shall thou exalt like that of a young unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." I pray that tonight you'll be anointed with fresh oil. I pray before this conference is over, you'll be anointed with fresh oil. Doesn't matter what your age is. Even though you might have grown older than you were 5 years ago, he said, even in their old age, they shall yet bring forth fruit. Your latter end can be sweeter, can be greater, can be more glorious, can be more powerful, can be more intensive, can be more impactful. So the Lord is saying to you tonight, get acquainted with the Holy Ghost. And it starts with the baptism. But it does not end there. You have to continually relate with the Spirit. How do you get acquainted with somebody? By talking to them often, by discussing with them often, by sharing notes together, by calling each other on the phone, by being in each other's company. And the same thing is true in the Spirit. You get acquainted with the Holy Spirit when you spend time with Him. You spend time with Him in prayer. You spend time with Him in worship. You spend time with Him in the Word, because He's the author of the Word of God. And I have found out, the more I say in the Word of God, the more the Holy Ghost talks to me. Because as I'm meditating and thinking on what I just heard, or what I just read, and the Holy Spirit begins to ask me, do you really understand what that verse says? And I said, well, I think I do. I said, but do you also notice there's another aspect? And He begins to break it down to me. But when you don't read the Word, what is the Holy Spirit going to discuss with you? He said, we'll bring all things to your remembrance. But when there's nothing inside to be brought to your remembrance, what would He bring to your remembrance? I don't know if there's any night that passes that I don't fall asleep listening to the Word of God. Or I wake up in the middle of the night and I don't look for some device on which I can play the Word of God or listen to the Word of God. That was the time the Holy Spirit said to me, He said, son, every single day of this month, I want you to go through the book of Mark. I said, Lord, I'm a busy man and all that. Not just like many of you would say. And believe me, sometimes I have a lot of very tight schedule. But He said to me, it will not take you more than 90 minutes to go through the book of Mark every day. And, you know, because He wrote the book, He knows everything. I said, okay, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to try it. And I took the biggest of the translation, the Amplified. I said, I will see whether I will finish it in 90 minutes. And I found that it was just a little bit over 90 minutes. But every other translation, as I listened to the book of Mark, in 90 minutes, I started from chapter 1, I ended in chapter 16. And I was saying to you, I don't always have a single time slot of 90 minutes. He said to me, break it into 30-minute slots. And in 3 sections, you have finished the book of Mark. And that's absolutely the truth. So sometimes when we're driving, you know, so there are some things my wife does that help her with sometimes. So we're driving 30 minutes, I've finished one third of the book of Mark. Another 30 minutes, I finish the book of Mark. Another 30 minutes, I complete the book of Mark. I want you to know, brethren, if you want to know the Holy Spirit, get into the book. He is in the book. He is the author of the book. And when you begin to take the Word of God seriously, the Holy Spirit would have something to discuss with you constantly. And it took me to the book of Mark. I was shocked. I read that book. I listened to that book every single day of that month. At the end of that month, my life was never the same again. Because the book of action is a book of power. And I was also beginning to see more of the demonstration of His power in my life and in my ministry. So the first thing, brethren, if you want access into this kingdom power, get to know the Holy Spirit. Every day you wake up, tell Him, good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for a wonderful night rest. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that this morning I can rise up, I can open my eyes, I can hear, I can speak, I can lift my hands, I can walk. Everything is okay with me. You know, I have experienced this power myself in this house, in this family, again and again. And I personally, you know, I didn't even tell Pastor this about 24 months ago. I had a massive stroke. I woke up, I couldn't walk, I couldn't do anything. That family had to take me to the hospital. And the devil sent an agent there that I called the devil's advocate, a nurse, a particular nurse. It was her job to tell me every morning, well, Reverend, it's unfortunate this has happened, but from all the MRI, all the results, you would never be normal again. You will not talk well again. You will not be able to walk again. And, you know, she would also call my wife aside, look at, cry in the eyes, and say, Mrs. Aguirre, you should thank God that your husband is alive. He would have died. And which would you have preferred, for him to have died or for him to be paralyzed? Then after a few days, they noticed that there was a bit of improvement. Then the doctors were saying, well, maybe he would eventually walk. They had said, I'll never walk again. I would never be normal again. So maybe he would walk, but he would always need a cane. Then she would call my wife and say, well, thank God for the improvement. Or when she even say thank God, I don't know if she believes in God, but she said, well, we're glad it's improving, but he would always need a cane. There's no way he would walk without a cane in his life. It's not possible. And let me tell you, don't be sad, because you'll notice my wife wasn't looking too happy. He said, don't be sad. It's better that he's walking with a cane than not being able to walk at all. And there are some fantastic canes now. There are some designer canes that they are making now, that when he's even walking with a swagger, you would not even know that he's a cane. She was advertising, walking with a cane as if she was a cane manufacturer. But my wife would just say anything. And when the doctors come, they bring all their results. And, you know, the results were frightening. In fact, they were not promising at all. And our sister, who is also a medical doctor, flew in from the UK to come and take care of me. And she understood all their medical jargons. When they are gone, they would be so sad and so sorrowful. But there I was every day laughing in the Holy Ghost, because the Spirit had told me days before this thing happened that was going to happen and I was going to come out of it. So I was excited in my spirit, always praising God, always worshiping God. No matter where they came to me, how is today? Best day to be alive. This is such a wonderful day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. And, you know, there came a day I was just thanking God for my healing, and the Lord said, do you say you are well? I said, yes, I'm well. Look at the clock. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. And when I looked at the clock on the wall of the hospital ward where I was, it was 10 o'clock on the dot in the morning. He said, well, people are not in bed at this time. Get up there. So I stood up by the Holy Ghost and I began to walk. I took the first step, the second step. The nurses suddenly were rushing from everywhere, because earlier on, somebody was harassing me, another Satan's advocate. I would say, oh, well, you have to try and gather yourself. And I was trying to do that and I fell. So they were afraid I would fall again. But the power of God came upon me. I have experienced that power. That is what I'm telling you. And you can experience that power. When that power came upon me and I started walking, you know, they were all, you know, running around. They quickly put a band around me, held me on both sides so I wouldn't fall, took a few steps, went back to my bed, took a few steps after that again. And then the devil's advocate was not on duty for about 2 days. She came and they told her that a miracle had happened. The reverend is walking, says it cannot happen. It is impossible. Men might say it's impossible, but there's one who specializes in impossibility. His name is Jehovah. He is the way maker. He's the accuser, the pathfinder, the trailblazer, the one that doeth the impossible, the one that says a thing and it cometh to pass. Even when science says it cannot happen, even when medicine says that it is an impossicant, I am telling you tonight, that power is available. Even as I'm speaking to you now, that same power that brought me up from that bed of paralysis 24 months ago can do the same thing for you. They say I will never travel anymore, and that's the main work God has given me. I'm an itinerant minister that travels the continent. They said, you must not even think about it. Things will never be normal again. That same month, that same year, rather, they discharged me in the month of November, about the 26th or so of November. And then in December, I was on my way to my first trip in California, which is about 6 hours flight from where I live, to preach the crossover service like I had done for them the previous 3 years. And I'm still doing it. And I will still do more. After that, I've been everywhere you can imagine. And I know something, brethren, I'm telling you this tonight, not to boast in myself, but to boast in the power of this kingdom that we're talking about, to boast in the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit brought me out of that bed. And today, nothing missing, nothing broken. That same power can be yours. It's yours. It's available to you. Walk in it, live in it, experience it. But it comes by being acquainted with the Holy Spirit. You see, because, like I said, the Holy Spirit told me days before, weeks before, this thing was going to happen. And he gave me a scripture in Job 38, verse 22 and 23. He said there are some weapons that are kept for the day of battle, for the day of trouble. He says some begin to look at those weapons and begin to get ready, because there is a battle coming, there is a trouble coming. And when the trouble came, it meant faith in my heart. Because I began to pray, I began to prepare, began to spend more time in the Word of God. And when the trouble came, faith, in fact, my wife said, I've never seen such manifestation of faith in my life. Because there was not a single day I was sad. Not a single day I queried God. Not a single day I wondered why this happened to me. Not a single day that I imagined that I would never be normal again. But it came with acquaintanceship with the Holy Ghost. So I'm telling you, brethren, tonight, get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Spend time with Him. Spend time in His presence. Secondly, if we want to access this power and walk in this power, we must make up our minds that we will renew our minds. That is the only way that God can open your spiritual eyes. When your mind is changed, your life will be transformed. Remember, wherever your mind goes, that is where your life would follow. God is looking for transformed nonconformists. Now you might ask me, how do I renew my mind? That's a whole message on its own. But I'll just give you one or two quick tips tonight. And like I always say, I won't charge you nothing for it. Number one, ask the Lord to guard and protect and direct your mind. Because your mind is the place of intellect, is the place of reasoning and intentions. Your behavior begins in your mind. Every action, whether you realize it or not, begins with a thought in your mind. Most temptation, if almost every temptation, begins with an idea, with a thought in your mind. You have to think it first before you act on it. Rarely would anybody say, oh, I just decided to do that stupid thing. The chances is you have been thinking about it. You have been deliberating on it. And finally, you decided to do it. So you must make sure that you guard your mind and pray that God should guard your mind. Romans 12 verse 2, Paul said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and accepted, an acceptable and perfect will of God. One prayer that you can pray is, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, keep my mind firmly set where you want it to be focused today. You can pray that prayer every morning when you wake up. Lord Jesus, in your mercy, by the Holy Spirit, keep my mind firmly set where you want it to be focused today. Secondly, to renew your mind, recognize the source of self-focused and self-defeating thoughts and deal with them. Any thoughts that is selfish, that is self-focused, that is self-defeating, you can be sure it's not from God. You must make up your mind it's not from God and begin to deal with them. Number three, replace every such thinking with a God-focused mindset. Somebody said we have to become God-inside-minded. You have to become God-inside-minded. You know, you have to begin to train your brain, rather, to concentrate on the things of God, or it will be consumed by the things of the world. You know, of course, to focus your mind on the things of God requires some bit of work. If you don't take purposeful actions to set your mind on Jesus Christ, then you would allow your mind to go anywhere it wants to go. And of course, wherever it's going to go is nowhere that is good. That is why some of you, you see, brethren, you have to take time, like I've been saying, and I have to repeat it, you have to take time to spend time in the Word of God. There was a time I would read 10 chapters, 20 chapters a day, and I thought I was doing good. Then one of my friends, you know, invited me to his church. They had a special program, and Reverend George Adigboye was there ministering, and he was just quoting scriptures verse after verse, and he said, oh, well, in fact, these days I've become lazy. That some of you be wondering, how can this man remember scriptures like that? He said, well, it's a gift from God, but also he spends time in the Bible. He spends time reading the Word of God. He spends time hearing the Word of God. And he said, but recently I've become quite lazy in doing that. I think today, in fact, the past few days, I've only been able to do 80 chapters a day. And I said to myself, I was doing 10 and 20, and I thought I was doing good. Now somebody is doing 80 chapters and is disappointed in himself. Then you wonder why that man is like that. Then you wonder why you are where you are. How many chapters a day are you doing in the Word of God? And then you want to be like certain people. You want to manifest certain power. But you are not ready to pay the same price that these people are paying. But let me make it clear to us tonight. God is not a God of partiality. His principles are the same. If he requires that much of those people, he requires that much of you and me. And until we make up to our minds that we're going to become serious about this business, we will never see the change that we desire. So brethren, we must make up our mind. It requires some measure of work. It requires some measure of discipline. It requires some measure of determination. You make up your mind that you are going to spend time focusing on the things of God, focusing on the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What do most of us think about every day? If we don't think about all the trouble going on in Nigeria and how the Buhari government is stealing money and all that, we think of stupid things on social media, on Facebook and all that. That's the majority of the time that we spend every day spent on useless things like that. Most of us Christians, even, we are guilty. Not just people who are not born again. We are equally guilty. We spend an unhealthy amount of time on the phone, just gisting, just talking irrelevancies. And, you know, sometimes we, even when we wake up in the night, like I said, instead of putting on the Word of God or to start praying, we'll go to Facebook. What's going on Facebook? What's the latest? What's going on YouTube? And, you know, you will never grow spiritually when you invest the majority or the greatest percentage of your time in frivolities like that. You must make up your mind that this coming 2021, I had certain determinations. I don't call them resolutions because resolutions are usually broken. I had certain determinations this year, 2020. Even before I knew there was going to be a pandemic, and God helped me because during the pandemic, it was easier for me because most times I was indoors. Most times I could not go to the places. I had meetings scheduled this year for Angola, for Rwanda, for Kenya, and for Australia, for Solomon Islands. I could only go to Angola and South Africa, and eventually I had to come back home to Atlanta. You know, but thank God for the lockdown period. It allowed me to spend more time in God's presence, spend more time in the Word, spend more time in prayer, spend more time in worship, spend more time on waiting on the Most High. And, you know, it helped me to also write some books I've been wanting to write for quite a while. You know, so it turned out for my good. And a lot of the determinations that I had, I was able to do that. So I'm encouraging you in 2021, have a determination that this year that is up ahead of me, I'm going to spend more time in the Word. I'm going to spend more time with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to spend more time in worship and praise of the Most High. I'm going to spend more time in communion. I'm going to spend more time in fellowship. I will minimize. I'm not saying you can't go on social media, but minimize it. Minimize it to the lowest percentage possible. Invest that precious time in godly things, in spiritual things, and you would see who you would be by the middle of 2021. So Isaiah 26 also, verse 3 says, thou would keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Number 4, we're talking about renewing our mind. Rest in the truth that you are accepted in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that Satan can use to bring you down more than to condemn you. In Christ, we are free from every accusation. Romans 8, verse 1, it says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't doubt it. Don't wonder about it. Don't question it. You see, when you begin to think about these scriptures, you are renewing your mind. It's affecting your mind. Then lastly, make sure that you begin to practice meditation. And we're not talking about transcendental meditation or yoga meditation. We're talking about genuine Christian, genuine scriptural meditation. You have to meditate on the word if you want to renew your mind. It is meditation that changes your mind, that transforms your mind. It is meditation in the word of God that makes you think the way God thinks, that makes you talk the way God talks, that makes you act the way that God acts. What is meditation? Meditation means to think deliberately, consciously, on a particular matter, on a particular thing, spending time ruminating on it, running it through your mind again and again. And an aspect of meditation also has to do with to mutter, to say, or to sing, you know, or to hum. How did you get to know the times table? Today, if I ask you 2 times 2, you say it's 4. And you left primary school how many years ago? I say 4 times 4, 16. 8 times 8, 61. It just comes to you naturally. But you did not know it from your mother's womb. It took some effort. It took, you know, recitation before the times table stuck in your mind. And today nobody can take it from you. Meditation is similar to that. The scriptures that you read, run them over your mind over again and again. Say them to yourself. Personalize them. Put yourself in that scripture. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. You say, I am more than a conqueror. Personalize it. Make it yours. That is how to meditate. And do it constantly. You can start with 15 minutes. I mean, if you've never done this before or you've not been doing it as you should, then go to 30 minutes. Then go to 1 hour. Before you know it, you become a walking Bible because it becomes a part of you. And it starts changing the way you think. It starts changing the way you talk. When a negative thought comes to you, the first thing that happens is a scripture contrary to that rises up in your mind and says, no, you can't think like that. You can't say that because it does not agree with the word of God. It does not confirm the word of God. But when your spirit and your soul has not been, you know, saturated and soaked in the word, you will not have an answer to that negative thought. So it is important that we also walk in meditation. And lastly, regarding renewing our minds, the Bible says, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So one translation says, then you will prevail in the affairs of life. If you want to prevail in the affairs of life, meditate on the word. Be a doer of the word. He said, not only must you meditate therein, observe to do all that is written there, according to what is written therein. For that is where you become a prosperous person. There is an aspect of prosperity that has to do with sowing and reaping. But there's another aspect that has to do with meditation, with obeying the word of God, with living the word of God, with acting out the word of God. And that's why some of us have sowed and sowed and sowed. We haven't seen any result because we left out this aspect of prosperity also. It's important that you make up your mind to meditate. And then, you know, finally, regarding this aspect, we must repeat these steps every day, like I've told us. All these things I've told you to do, do it on a daily basis, and then you will see the manifold work of the Lord in your life. Then, regarding accessing the power, we said 2 things. Number 1, get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Number 2, renew your mind. Number 3, remember that you have Christ's authority in you. All authority in heaven has been given to Christ, but he gave it to us. Elevated living is now your inheritance as a citizen of heaven and as an ambassador of heaven. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, said, he said, but our citizenship, the King James says, our conversation is in heaven. The good news says we are citizens of the commonwealth of heaven. Even though you're a Nigerian citizen, brethren, you are also a citizen of heaven. In fact, that is the most important one. You have to understand the authority of heaven backs you up. Like Pastor was telling us earlier on, it was by that same authority that you even became born again in the first place. God authorized your salvation. He authorized your new birth. And you should expect to function out of that authority, because kingdom living will become easy when you understand authority. And I pray that you will make it your next project in the next 1 month, the last month of the year. Spend time to understand authority from the Word of God. If you can, go on YouTube. Look for messages on the authority of the believer. Look for people who have preached on it or taught on it. Get to understand what it means that you have Christ's authority. Because it's the beginning of walking in dunamis. When you don't understand the authority, you cannot fully walk in power. You see, the policeman that stands on the road and lifts up his hand to a trailer that is coming, he's not relying on his physical power or his physical strength to stop that trailer. It will crush him. He will even know he climbed over anything. But because of the uniform that he's wearing, representing the authority that backs him up, that gives him the right to stand on that junction, on that road, and lift up his hand, it will bring that trailer to a halt. But if the driver refuses to stop and he's now saying, no, you don't know who I am, I'm representing the government, and he stands in front of the trailer trying to stop it, it will crush him to death. But almost every instance, the trailer driver will stop because of the uniform that represents the authority that sent him to that road. And the same thing, brethren, you have authority, and you must know all that you can about that authority. As you begin to work on it, the power comes forth. When a policeman tries to stop you and you don't stop, the government does not only give him authority, it also gives him backing power. And that is the gun in his hand. So if you decide not to stop and he lifts up his gun at you, what are you going to do? You will slam the brakes because you know you'll probably not live another day. The same thing is true with the believer. You have authority, but you have power backing up your authority. You know, I wish I could go into details about that, but you know, we would not have enough time. Then number four, make up your mind to walk humbly before the Lord on a daily basis. Humility does not mean pretending that you do not have what you have, but rather it means recognizing the source of what you have and giving the praise where it is due. That was a very terrible lesson that Nebuchadnezzar learned. Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was king by his own strength, by his own power. But the Lord had warned him. He had a dream. He saw a mighty tree. All the birds of the air came under it, and all the beasts of the field came under it. There was a shade and a covering for them. He said, but then there came a sound from heaven. He said, this is by the decree of the waters. Cut it down, but leave the stump in the ground. Let 7 seasons pass over it. And, you know, Daniel told him, live forever, oh Lord, your majesty. Of course, they know they will die, but they still say all the same. He said, live forever, your majesty. I wish this dream had been for your enemies and not for you. Because it's about you. God says, humble yourself. Acknowledge that God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Don't be proud. Take pride out of your mind. If not, you will go into the forest and eat grass like Malu. You will eat grass like a cow for 7 years. But as it always happens to human beings, like most of us, Nebuchadnezzar did not listen. Exactly 12 months later, a voice, he stood on the balcony of his palace in Babylon, saw the expanse of his empire. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, you're doing well. You are too much. You are the one that did all this fantabulous work. Oh, there's nobody like you, Nebuchadnezzar. While he was saying it, that voice from heaven fell. Because you have not given the glory and the honor to God, you have been judged. And you are going to the forest to eat grass for 7 years until you know that the Lord rules in the affairs of men. And it came to pass. 7 years later, they restored him, because the dream had indicated it would be restored. Then look at what he said. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. Jesus also said in Mark chapter 10 verse 15, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Mark chapter 10 verse 15. James chapter 4 verse 6 also says, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride promotes strife, pride limits grace, and pride limits power. Humility releases God's empowering grace and God's mighty power. So if you want to walk in kingdom power, you want to walk in the supernatural, you must walk in humility. Take away every form of pride. Any manifestation of pride, cut it down. Resist it. Rebuke it. In fact, sometimes you have to do certain things to humble yourself. You know, there are times, you know, by virtue of my ministry, I travel quite a bit. Sometimes I stay in the pastor's house, maybe because they can't afford to put me in a hotel. And I can't tell you how many times I would wake up before everybody else. I'm an early riser by nature. Over the years, I've learned to wake up early, to pray early in the morning before, you know, there's a lot of noise around me. It helps me to meditate. It helps me to be quiet. It helps me to hear more clearly my spirit. So it's a habit with me to wake up early. So many times I wake up early, and some of them, maybe after dinner, everybody's tired. They left all the dishes in the sink. I will go there and wash everything up, arrange it neatly. They wake up most morning and be shocked. And I remember one of the first things that happened. The people were wondering, who washed the dishes? That's the children. Say, I wasn't the one. They were all saying they weren't the one. They were wondering. I said, well, maybe an angel came in the night and washed everything to make the day easier for all of us. Of course, eventually they found out that I did it. But you do things like that sometimes just to humble yourself. Because they call me daddy. They respect me so much. They don't want me to even carry my slippers. They will quickly, daddy, want to, let's change your shoes and all that. But there are times you just do certain things to humble yourself. The Bible says God resists the proud. God knows the proud from afar off. He doesn't want them in his vicinity. Like Yorubas will say, God doesn't want proud people in his sakani, in whatever way. He doesn't want them at all. So if you want this power, you want to flow in the power. And then God gives power to the meek, to the humble. God gives power to you because he knows that you will give him the glory. You're not going to take it to yourself. Why was Satan kicked out of heaven? Why was Lucifer kicked out of heaven? Because of his six I will. Because of the manifestation of pride in his heart. I will do this. I will go to the mount of the Most High. I will be like the Most High. I will so and so and so. And God answered him with six I will also. I will cast thee down. I will cast you out of the mountain of God. I will cast you onto the ground. And they will look upon you and wonder, is this the man that terrorized the nations? Brethren, if you want to walk in the power, humble yourself. Sometimes God will make pastor give you an assignment. And you feel it's beneath you, me. When there are so many other young people here, when there are so many people who got, I got to this church way before everybody else. I shouldn't be in this position now. All these small, small girls, all these small, small boys, they should do it. But you don't know. God is humbling you. God is trying to give you that spirit of meekness. Why don't you accept it? Because when you are down, the only way you can go is up. Jesus said it also. He said, when you get to a very important occasion, don't sit at the front seat. Don't sit at the reserved seat. Go and sit at the back. Then when the host sees you and recognizes you, he says, please come to the front and sit in front. He said that you have honor before all men. But if you had gone to the front and sat down there, not knowing there's somebody greater than you coming, and they now come to you and say, oh God, please, can you shift? This seat is reserved for somebody else. He said, won't you be ashamed? So, brethren, do all you can to inspire humility in yourself and walk in humility. Then number five, be hungry and desperate for more of God. Anyone that is satisfied with where they are in God cannot go further in God. It's not possible. And like I always say, it's the vessel that you give to God that God will fill up. If your vessel is already full, there's nothing God can put inside. But when you come with an empty vessel, you say, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up with your glory. Fill me up with your power. I am desperate for you, oh God. I hunger for you. I long for you. I yearn for you. I thirst for you. God will fill you up. You must be hungry for the things of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are those who are needy, those who are humble, those who are not arrogant or proud. The metaphor here points to a poor beggar desperately asking for help. That's what Jesus is talking about. You are telling the Lord, I can't do this by myself. The moment you are sufficient unto yourself, God doesn't need to back you up. He doesn't need to give you the power. Go ahead and do it by yourself. And if you walk with God for a little while, you would understand that none of us is anything outside of God. It is that anointing that makes the difference. It is that grace of God. It is that help from on high that makes the difference. If the anointing is not there, you are an ordinary man. You can do nothing. Like Samson found out. When they had shaved his head, the anointing had departed. He was still Samson, physically. But something was missing. And he went, I would do like other times. And he flexed all his muscles. He did all the gymnastics, his razzmatazz, his acrobatics. Nothing happened. Because what made the difference was missing. What made the difference in the catapult of David was that it was held by anointed hands. He was not the only one that could shoot a catapult in Israel. Probably there were even more skillful people like him and than him. The Bible says, for instance, of the sons of Benjamin, he said these are the ones that could swing the catapult with their left hand, with their right hand. They were ambidextrous. And when they slung that thing, it will hit the bullseye every single time. So there are probably more skillful people in the tribe of Benjamin than David. But what made the difference on that day in the valley of Elah was that the sling that David held were held by anointed hands. And the moment the stone flew out of that sling, it became an intercontinental ballistic missile guided by GPS. That could not miss the targets. The moment that stone went out, I'm sure an angel followed it and said, you are going straight into the forehead of Goliath. It could not go to the left. It could not go to the right. It could not go upwards. It could not go downwards. It went straight to the weakest point of the giant. And the colossus fell down flat. And David cut off his head. But it was the anointing that made the difference. Brethren, with all thy getting, get the unction. Get the power. Get the anointing. Don't be satisfied with the fake. Don't fake it. If you don't have it, cry to God. Lord, I don't have it. I want it. There are many fake miracles now. Many fake healings. Many fake tongues. In fact, I watched a video not too long ago. Some of you might have seen this video was refuting another video that many people would have seen. A so-called prophet in South Africa called out a woman and said, oh, you have a business partner. The man was helping you. Suddenly he cut you off, blah, blah, blah. When I looked at it, 6 million people had viewed that video. Now, another man of God came up and said, he used to be with this man. They were into all this trickery and fakery together, but God convicted him. He now genuinely gave his life to Christ. He was revealing everything. He said the whole thing was a setup. They were acting. You know, some of you remember Pamela Y. That's the name of the video. This thing was, there was no truth whatsoever in it. The two ladies had been paid. to act it out as if this man was an Ogbonge prophet, an Ajebidor prophet. We have never seen his kind before. But you don't have to fake it where you can get the real thing. There's a price to pay. There's a desperation that must come in your spirit that brings that kind of power into your life. Are you desperate enough to cut off the television? Desperate enough to cut off social media for some days and just spend time in the presence of God and say, I must have more of you. I must have the enabling grace, the enabling power to do what you have called me to do. So, brethren, you must have a divine hunger and a divine desperation for these things to manifest in your life. I read the story of a woman who, had a need for a healing. And a man of God was talking about it. They went to Brazil to minister. And she had a severe back pain. She couldn't bend down. She couldn't lie down. She was constantly in pain. Now, the woman had to walk from her house to the meeting. And I think it was going to take her an hour to walk to that meeting. The daughter said, don't go. You are only going to increase your pain. She said, I'm told that miracles are happening there. I'm told that Jesus is alive. What Jesus was doing 2,000 years ago is still doing today. I believe if I go there, I'll be healed. The daughter said, don't bother us. I mean, I'm not going to take you. You mean you want to walk 1 hour in that excruciating? I know how painful this thing can be for you. The woman said, I would go. The daughter said, well, I'm not taking you. And she didn't. But the woman started out early because she knew normally if she was walking briskly, it would take an hour. So she started out early and taking one step after the other. Finally, she got to the crusade ground. And when she got there, she was completely healed of that back pain that afflicted her for decades. But the woman was desperate. Do you have that kind of desperation? Do you have that kind of yearning? Do you have that kind of hunger, that desire? I will not be like this in 2021. People must encounter me next year and know that something has happened to me. Something is different about me. That was what happened to me when I was in university and I was reading about all this move of God and, the great things that God did of men of old. I knew that God had called me and his hand was upon me. Even before I entered the university, he had told me. And then the prayer secretary at that time, he just took a liking to me. And he said, the grace of God is upon you. Eventually became the president of the fellowship and I became the prayer secretary. But even while he was the prayer secretary, he would call me. He said, Fair, I just feel we should pray together. And no matter how busy I was, I would give out time. He said, when can we meet? I would agree. And then we would pray. Sometimes we'd pray 3 hours. Sometimes we'd pray 4 hours. Just spending time in the Holy Ghost, groaning in the Spirit. And when he became president and I became prayer secretary, of course, it became routine, especially the last Friday of the month when we had a night vigil. I would go to his room. We would just be praying in the Spirit. 4 hours to 6 hours, we're groaning in the Spirit, praying. And in the course of our praying, the Spirit of God would tell us everything that was going to happen in the night vigil. And he would say, this is what I want you to do. This is how we'll get. We're going to start with this. And of course, people started coming for our vigils from all over Nigeria. People would travel, from Ilorin, from everywhere, from the east, from the north. They would come and spend the whole weekend in our campus. They'll come early Friday to do the vigil with us. They leave on Saturday to go back to their campuses because we learned how to be hungry and desperate for the move of God. And he obliged us. He responded to us. And he manifested himself in the meetings. Brethren, let me just be honest with you. We're not going to see the move of God that we've all been desirous of if we're not ready to pay the price. We must. There are no fast track to the anointing. Yes, we live in a fast age. We live in a microwave age. But the principles of God remain the same. He's the unchanging changer. He said, I am the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God is the unchanging changer. He does not vary. He does not shift like shifting shadows. He is reliable. He is consistently consistent, diligently diligent. If we want what they had in the days of old, we must do what they did in the days of old. The early church started in prayer, and they continued in prayer. In fact, the first miracle after Pentecost happened when Peter and John were going to the prayer meeting. When they went down in prayer, that was when Herod took James and killed him. Of course, he spurred them back into prayers, and they began to pray. And that's another thing that I need to talk to you about. If you want the power of God, you must become a man of persistent, consistent prayer and fasting. Sometimes you have to add fasting to it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, I remember in those days in campus, we used to fast every Friday. Every Friday, everybody in the fellowship was fasting. And then those of us in prayer band will come at about 4 p.m., we'll pray for about 2 hours, then for the whole fellowship for ourselves, and we'll break the fast. So fasting is not so popular these days because there's, you know, where, I don't know, maybe Nigeria, but in America, there's so much food. In fact, if you are not careful in America, you can become times three of your weight in 1 year because there's food everywhere, anywhere you turn, and the food is cheap. So, but God still requires us to fast. It does not mean we should fast in a fanatical way or an extreme way and damage ourselves and damage our bodies, but fasting is still good. Fasting is still important. And I encourage you, if you have abandoned the discipline of fasting, get back to fasting. Set out some times in the month to fast and just spend time in the presence of God. I'm not talking of a hunger strike, because if you are fasting and you are not praying and you are not spending time in the Word and you are not fellowshipping with God, you're not waiting upon God, that is a hunger strike. Yeah, you know, the whole essence of avoiding food is to give more time to spiritual things and spend time in the presence of God. So if we want this power, we must learn to engage in persistent prayer, in persistent fasting. Jesus said to them in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, how be this kind went not out but by prayer and fasting? So it's important. And I want to ask you today, how desperate are you for his kingdom and for his will to reign in your life, to reign in your church, to reign in your community? He said, ask it to be given unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8. Seek and knock. And they are all in the present tense, suggesting that it's a continuous thing. You have to keep asking. You have to keep seeking. You have to keep knocking. Of course, there are some prayers that you pray once, the prayer of faith, because you believe it's done. But there are other kinds of prayer you have to keep asking. You have to keep seeking. You have to keep knocking. Blind Bartimaeus, as we see Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, he wanted Jesus to heal him. He started crying out, but he did not stop. When they even told him to stop, he cried out the more. He shouted the more. He said, keep quiet. Mechonu, are you the only one that needs healing? There are other people here. Why are you shouting like that? He shouted the more. He was persistent. He was tenacious. He was consistent until the Messiah stopped, the Son of David stopped, and said, somebody is calling me. Now, this is an amazing thing. Like I always say, there was so much noise. There was a din, a cacophony of voices in that place. But the voice of faith pierced the loudness and the noise of the crowd and brought the creator of the universe to a standstill. It's like going to National Stadium and they're playing the World Cup. And you know what that means? The humiliations, the noise, the blowing of trumpets, all kinds of things. You know, the football fans chanting and, you know, all kinds of things happening. And then in the midst of that noise, somebody spoke and the referee heard what he said. And he was not even on the field of play. That's what happened here in this scenario. But Bartimaeus spoke And Jesus heard him in the midst of that big noise, because God would always hear the voice of faith. If you want the power of God, learn to develop your faith. And it's related to what I told you earlier on, spending time in the Word of God, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So your faith will grow when you spend time in the Word of God and when you put it to work. The more you practice your faith, the more it grows, the more it becomes big, the more it becomes much. So the same thing. Then very quickly, I'll round up by telling us that we also must walk in purity of heart. There's no man who would encounter the power of God or continue to encounter the power of God who lives an unholy life. It is not possible. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they are the ones that will constantly see God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. The pure in heart understands God's heart and his revealed mysteries. God reveals his plans to his friends. Those who love and obey him, those who keep themselves separated from the snares of the enemy and the world. The psalmist also said in Psalm 24, verse 3 to 6, we may ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or we may stand in his holy place. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. So internal holiness, external holiness. You must make up your mind. No more fornication, no more adultery, no more gossiping, no more evil thoughts, you know, no more vengeance, no more bitterness. You just got to make up your mind. I'm going to live a holy life. I'm going to live the way Christ wants me to live. That is the way to access the power and continue to flow in the power. Lastly, you must prioritize the things of the kingdom first. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Brethren, if you want to flow in the power of God, you must seek first the things of the kingdom. When your business comes first, you will not see this power. When your marriage comes first, you will not see this power. When your career comes first, you will not see this power. When anything in this life precedes the things of God in your life, you cannot see this power. So you've got to make up your mind. I'm going to put spiritual things first. It's not that the other things are not important, but prioritize. Make sure there's a gradient. This one first, this one second, this one third, and let the things of God always be first. When God sees that you put him first, he will put you first. When you mock the word of God, you will become a mockery. But when you exalt the word of God, you'll be exalted. When you take the things of God importantly, God will take you importantly, and God would promote you. God would assist you. God would help you. God will give you his power and trust you with his power. Let's bow our heads to pray. I'd like us to just thank the Lord again and bless him and worship him and adore him, because he has spoken to us, and it is now left for us to do and to obey what he has said to us. So I want you to pray tonight and say, Lord, help me, Lord, to put to practice everything that you have spoken to me about today. No man is sufficient unto these things. I cannot do it by myself. I cannot make it happen by myself. Many of us have tried, and we found that we couldn't by ourselves. We made New Year resolutions for the past 10 years. By the middle of the year, all of them are broken. At the end of the year, none was fulfilled. But there can be a change. I want you to talk to the Lord and say, Father, make me hungry. Make me thirsty for you. Oh, Lord, let me not be satisfied with where I am. I am tired of where I am. I am sick of tired of being sick and tired. I am tired, oh God, of being at the bottom of spiritual things. Father God, I want to go higher. I want to go farther. I want to go deeper. Help me by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, forgive me. In any way I've grieved you, offended you, neglected you, ignored you, please forgive me. Let us start afresh again. Bring me close to you. Bring me, oh God, into that place, the inner sanctuary. Father God, I invite you into my closet. I'm praying that on a daily basis, I would have an encounter, I would have a fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God. And if there's any iniquity that you are still indulging in, ask the Lord tonight to forgive you, have mercy on you, and tell the devil and that sin no more. Sin shall have no dominion over me. You are turning your back on that thing, and you are making up your mind to walk in purity, to walk in holiness, to walk according to the dictates of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Make a commitment to prayer. Make a commitment to persistent prayer. Make a commitment to fastings. Paul said, in fastings often. So the man fasted often. He had dedicated times of fasting, of waiting upon the Lord. I want you to talk to the Lord and say, Father, help me. Help me by your Spirit. Help me, O God, to do that which is expected of me. Father, I want to walk in this power. I don't just want to hear about it. I don't just want to see other people testifying of it. I want to testify of this power. I want to tell of it in a personal way, on a personal level, because I myself have witnessed it. John was writing in his epistle, he said, that which we ourselves have witnessed, that which we have touched, that which we have handled, pertaining to the Prince of Life. So I want you to understand it today, brethren. You must experience this thing. You must be a personal testifier. And it will be so in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just want to thank you again tonight and give you all the praise, give you all the glory, give you all the honor. Oh, glory be to your name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, El Shaddai God. The Spirit of the Lord is ministering to my heart that right now, if you have any kind of respiratory disease and you have any kind of joint disease, pains in your joints, put your hand on that place. The Lord will heal you. May Nepharis that David Nevadas sparingly distanda high, Magadilion stantana dikes, Presta Cisese, Jovia, Ontrastava, Lecoma Tieta, Sete Levovia, Matuspantum Gardens, be healed in the name of Jesus. Let the power of the Holy Ghost go into every organ that controls respiration, the lungs, the heart, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let that band upon that chest be broken now. Be free in the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ sets you free tonight, and you are free indeed. Blessed be your name, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, El Shaddai. We know that healing is taking place right now, and your people will testify. Every joint pain, every aching pain disappear in the name of Jesus. Every form of arthritis, I command you to die. Pass out of their bodies in the name of Jesus. Let there be mobility where there has been stiffness in the name of Jesus. The hand of the Lord be upon you today for mercy. His hand be upon you for deliverance, for emancipation, for healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. Lord, we also pray, fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Those of us who have been filled before, oh God, let there be a new infilling for us. As you did for the church after the day of Pentecost in chapter 4, we're told they were filled with the Holy Spirit again after the place was shaken. Lord, we're praying, let there be another infilling for us. Oh, let us move away from stillness to freshness. Naga Pakiengis, Starada Gianta Standahai, Lemai on Mesispe Sakodis, Apra Liket Standamus Tevia, on Pakeka Puest on Ligas, Staristum Glejanovim V, on Mahasingadisia, Aprasis Cliesto, Passis Tonjon Darkono, I Makapi Bread Levivis, on Prestongle Carta Zagama, I meet him destieta, Shoblion, Prastegen Epenene Mangi, of Brufi Expingagot Weliginanos, Staish Dobradas, extendere dion gradus, che ma peli dietan pari dai. Oh, man di diega, sestere, de fiesto fontan fion, entre figlie de fiesto de duna, because you're the only one that can do it like that. De acas in biglies paral mustanos, paba bie from pagi, eivison, bacaston dem plasta. Blessed be your name, Lord. Father, we're grateful. We thank you. Oh, glory be to your name. Honor be to your name. Thank you, Father, for helping us. To you be all the praise and to you be all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. And thank you again, Pastor. Give you, you send our greetings, everyone here. And by God's grace, next year, Corona will be gone. I will come to you live. Amen. We'll see face to face. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wow, we're so much to chew on. So much. So much. Hallelujah. Trusting God. Hallelujah. Decisions. Decisions. Can we just, again, can I just take some time to pray? That God will strengthen us to stand by the decisions we've made. Some of us will need to start fasting. Some of us will need to start reading and meditating. Some of us will need to pray. I'm a more desperate. Some of us will need to be more desperate. Lord, strengthen our hearts. That we will stand by these decisions. We will not leave here and forget. We will not forget that which we have said. We will not forget that which we have made as a commitment. We will not forget. Help us to restructure our lives. We bless your name. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Once again, I want to say thank you, Reverend Femi Agri. Can we please appreciate him? Hallelujah. Amen. While the meeting was going on, again, my brother, friend, and neighbor came in. He was here 2 days ago, yes. The Director of Physical Planning, Fairvest of Technology Builder, Shola Dari. You're welcome, sir. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming again, sir. Amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.